And let's take out our pew Bibles and turn together to Proverbs chapter 4. We're reading verses 20 through 27. Proverbs chapter 4. It's on page 514 in the pew Bibles. This is God's word. My son, pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight, and keep them within your heart. For they are life to those who find them, and health to one's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Keep your mouth free of perversity. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths of your feet, and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or the left, but keep your foot from evil. So I want to ask you a question. If you can bring up the next slide. How many of you have some type of protection on your laptop? Raise your hand. How about your phone? How many of you might have an alarm system in your house? You don't have to raise your hand there, because if we see you don't, maybe someone might notice. The point is, we have protection on almost everything, but sometimes, except for the one thing that really does determine everything, sometimes we're neglecting the protection on the most important part of our lives. We protect our money, our identity, our devices. We have passwords. We have two-factor authentication, antivirus software, facial recognition, layer after layer of question, of protection. But today we're going to ask, how's the protection on your heart? Is your heart protected? Have you checked it lately? Is your heart healthy, or is it just busy? Is it guarded, or is it exposed? The most important verse in this passage, it says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Above all else, we are to guard our hearts. And are we investing time and energy in guarding our hearts? So let's ask ourselves the question then, how do we guard our hearts? First of all, let's look at what this verse means in this Hebrew context. The word is natsar, or something like that. I don't know how to pronounce it. And it really means to watch over carefully and to guard with fidelity, or like really pay attention to it, to preserve it, guard from dangers, and to stand like a watchman at the gate. So it's a lot more than just guarding. It's really talking about caring for, nurturing, providing a good environment for your heart, spending time, really looking at your heart and discovering what does this heart need to be healthy and good. Can we give good attention to our hearts? Can we invest time and energy to create a firewall for our hearts? Our heart shapes everything that we do. It shapes our thoughts, our words, our choices, our relationships, and our direction in life. And here's the problem. We can't just direct our hearts to decide, okay, this is how I'm going to feel today. This is how my heart's going to be today. Seems like our heart has a mind of its own, doesn't it? We're feeling good and things are going well. Something can shipwreck it and we just feel awful. Our attitudes come out. We find ourselves doing things we didn't want to do. And our heart seems to take us then in directions that we don't want to go in. I sometimes wish there were a switch on my heart that I could say, listen, you're going to be positive all day today. No negativity, no critical thoughts. You're going to be pleasant to be around and you're not going to be grumpy. Flip that switch on. But for some reason, it's just not quite that simple. So first of all, we need to know what's really going on in our hearts. What is my heart like? What am I feeling? For again, it says everything that you do flows from it. If everything that we do in life flows from our hearts, then we've better pay close attention. Our hearts are the center of emotion, and emotions are good, but if we let ourselves be led by them, we'll fall into deception. Our hearts are good, but they can't rule over us. They can't direct our lives. Our hearts need to be guarded and cared for. It says in Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all else. Whoa. The heart is deceitful. Now, we've all heard that phrase that says, just follow your heart. Every Disney movie, right? Just follow your heart. What are you feeling? What are you really feeling inside? Well, friends, that philosophy is really dangerous. Because if we're just following our hearts, what we feel like doing, my feeling is going to take me to some pretty bad places. We need to discern what emotions are good and will help us and guide us to the path of goodness, and what emotions actually lead us to sickness, depression, and ultimately destruction. We need to know our hearts, and our heart will reveal itself to us. First of all, our heart directs life. Our heart is unreliable, and the heart will reveal what's going on in your heart, whether you want it to or not. It says, Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 15, but the thing that comes out of a person's mouth come from the heart, and these things defile them. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, and slander. These are what defile a person. Did you ever had a moment when you just like hear yourself say something or do something like, shoot, where did that come from? Could be a sharp comment, an overreaction when your emotions come out a lot more than you were ready for, a tone in your voice you didn't intend. In that moment you realize, yeah, you know what? That did not just come out of nowhere. There's something going on in my heart. You know, you can think of your cup like a cup. Think of your heart like a cup. This one even has my name on it. So think of this as representing your heart. Now, when you're walking around, if you bump into someone, oops, I spilled some water, more than I intended. Whatever's in this cup is going to come out. If it's coffee, it's going to spill all over your pants and maybe over someone else. When traffic bumps into you, when people bump into you, when stress bumps into your life, whatever's in your heart is going to come out. And that sometimes is scary. On the other hand, if your heart is full of peace, peace is going to come out. If it's full of anger, anger spills out. Frustration fills out of our heart onto others. We can try to use willpower to hold it all in. I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to speak. I'm mad at this person, but I'm going to be happy and greet them nicely, and everything's going to be okay. But eventually, if we're harboring bitterness, unforgiveness, anger towards others, or just frustration with life, disappointment, if we're dealing with hopelessness inside, these things will come out. The longer it's held in, the louder it will come out, and it begins to affect our souls, our minds, and even our bodies, our physical health. Again, everything in life flows from our hearts. Again, the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 12. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. So we need to pay attention. Know what's going on in your heart. We need to learn to take a heart inventory. You know, we need that time alone where we sit before the Lord and say, Lord, reveal my heart to me. Opening ourselves up, and it just takes time sitting in silence, saying, Lord, reveal what's really going on in my heart. 2 weeks ago, we had a panel on mental health. We had a great panel of people who deal with mental health, and our sister Ashley Howard, she advised us to do a daily check that said, what's going on in my heart? So I've learned throughout my life that honestly, I'm not very good at this part. I'd rather get busy, keep myself doing something that makes me feel good, get busy with work, get work busy with church life, and just kind of like, yeah, no, I don't want to deal with that right now. Let it be pushed down. Let me do something good and exciting. rather than taking the time to listen to what's going on in my heart. A Christian therapist once gave me a helpful practical exercise. It's called the dinner table method. It sounded really strange to me, but he was a Christian, so I trusted him, and he said, get in a quiet place, and then close your eyes, and imagine a dinner table in your inner world, and there's various versions of you around this table, like different parts of your heart or different parts of you around this table. And then just ask the question, is there anyone here who has something to say? So I did that. I went on my own, sat at my dinner table and said, is there anyone who has something to say? And I was really confounded by how many voices started shouting, really, at me. It's like, finally, someone's listening. What about this? What about this? There's disappointment. There's frustrations. There are issues going on that spoke up. I could then take these things and acknowledge them, say, yeah, actually, there's quite a bit going on in my heart that really needs attention. I could also kind of speak to these areas and say, it's okay. God is with me. I can lift those areas before the Lord. Lord, I need healing. I confess, Lord, I've been bitter. I confess I've experienced disappointment. And I could find the truth of God's word and apply it in those areas. Some questions we can ask ourselves in that place of quiet and listening is, where is there disappointment? Where is there fear? Where is there envy? Where is there bitterness and frustration? Is it some place that I just feel hopeless? And where is there hurt? Where is there pain? Sometimes that hurt is caused by others. It's not our own fault. But that's also something we need to recognize and acknowledge. If we've experienced some really tough things in life, abuse or other issues, I would encourage you, find a professional mental health person and go and work it out, because those things are more than we can handle on our own. As pastors and lay leaders and prayer ministers, we're here from you to pray with you, walk through you through that process, but we're not those professionals who can help you in some of the deeper, more difficult areas. We can help with prayer, but I would encourage you, find the help that you need. So what happens, though, when we ignore these areas? When we don't let them surface and come in, our hearts then become calloused. They become insensitive to the conviction of the Holy Spirit, so we're really not feeling anything anymore. We become blind to the true state of our hearts. And the Bible calls this a heart of stone. If you can bring up that next slide, there it is. A heart of stone. We need to learn to pay attention to what are the signs of a hardened heart. Because sometimes we're taking the time. Yeah, I want to sit and listen and see what's going on in my heart and just don't feel a thing. Over time, over repetition of thought patterns that have been allowed to stay and things in our heart, it's become so hardened we don't even know that it's there. Critical, negative thoughts and speech, slander and gossip, anger, words of despair, skepticism, willful sin, clinging to sinful ways, pride, and not listening to others, impatience. These are all signs of a heart that has turned hard and maybe has even turned to stone. Our hearts become desensitized. Our emotions then are less. Like it's harder to enter into friendships and relationships because our hearts are hard and we're not even feeling emotions that much. It hinders then an emotional connection with others and also an emotional connection with God. A hard heart dulls our compassion for others, that we're not moved like we should be when we see the suffering of other people. It takes away our passion and our zest for life. And a hard heart will stunt our personal and spiritual growth. And ultimately, a hard heart, again, affects our heart. Okay, we've come down to a place of talking about the consequences of a hard heart and attitudes of the heart. But to have a healthy heart, what do we need to do? We need to carefully and attentively guard and choose First of all, what goes into our hearts? Proverbs 4 says these things. Let's look at it together. Verse 24 says, keep your mouth free of perversity. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. So that means be aware of the society that we're in. If people are talking corruptly and perversely around us, then we need to shut that off. Maybe not hang out with people who are slandering and doing bad things. Doesn't mean that we don't build relationships with people that need Jesus, but we need to watch the influences in our life and make sure we surround ourselves with people that actually I'd like to be like. And we need to be strong in that fellowship while also then going out and building relationships with others that need to know that we can share the love of Jesus with who don't know him. Verse 25 says, let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. What do you think that speaks to in our modern world? Let your eyes look straight ahead. Anyone want to shout it out? What's the temptation of our eyes? Well, things like, of course, TV, our phones, social media, looking around as well. We need to guard our eyes and what we allow to come in through our eyes. Verse 26 says, give careful thought to the paths of your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil. This is talking about our actions, how we conduct our lives. Make sure that we're walking in purity and honesty and integrity. And again, watch who we're doing business with, what type of influences we have. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, bad company corrupts good character. So I'm going to ask all the kids who rehearsed earlier, please come up to the stage. There's a song that I just couldn't resist that helps us remember how we protect what goes into our hearts. And Chili's going to be playing on the ukulele, and Nancy's helping. Come on up, kids. Be brave. I think you know this song. If we want to go to that slide. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Would you all stand? Just in case you're going to sleep, you can wake up a bit. Let's sing this song together as our kids, as we lead together. Come on up. Go ahead. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. There's a Father up above, looking down in tender love. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see. Okay, everybody, let's do the motions. You can do it. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. There's a Father up above, looking down in tender love. Oh, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say. Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say. There's a Father up above, looking down in tender love. Oh, be careful, little ear, what you say. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you do. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you do. There's a Father up above, looking down in tender love. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you do. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. There's a Father up above, looking down in tender love. Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. Amen. Thank you, kids. You can go back. You can go back to your parents. So let's remember this song. It sticks in your mind. You'll probably all be singing it all day long, and you're welcome. So a simple reminder, what enters your life doesn't stay on the surface. It shapes our hearts. Guarding and caring for your heart isn't just about keeping things out. It's also about putting the right things in. You know, today at 3 o'clock, we're opening our community garden. Some of us have already reserved our garden beds. I have, and looking forward to it. But what happens, kids? Let me ask this question. What happens if we don't plant any seeds or put any plants in that garden bed? What's going to happen? Weeds. The weeds will come up on their own. So it is with our hearts. If we don't fill them with seeds like the Word of God, if you can go to the next slide, Word of God, also with prayer, we can practice the words in Philippians 4:6-7, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I want to plant good seeds of the Word of God and of prayer in His presence so that peace is what comes out when someone bumps into me and not a harsh word. We need to fill our hearts with thanksgiving and praise, with fellowship, with godly friendships, and with good things. So I want to emphasize this point here, good things. You know, this filling our heart with good seeds of God's Word doesn't mean that we put the Bible on autoplay in our earbuds all day long with WJTL in the background continuously playing. Now, that's a good thing to do for part of our day, but guess what? God has made a good world, and there are good things all around us that He wants us to enjoy, and those things also shape our hearts. There's good media. There's good entertainment. There's good fun things to do. There are good deeds. Let's do the good things and sow them into our hearts. Finally, we need to realize that no matter how hard we try, we can do all the right things. We can read the Bible a lot. We can pray and all these things. But we have to acknowledge our hearts are prone to wander. They're prone to sin. And unless we have divine help from our God, our hearts will not really be changed. We need the transforming power of God that comes when we surrender our hearts to Him. We can realize that, God, I can't do it. I really can't change my heart, and I need You to do this for me. We can invite Jesus to come in and say, Lord Jesus, come into every area of my life. Would You come in and take that garden hose and just wash all the walls down, wash out all the grime, all the filth. Help me learn, Lord, new patterns of thoughts and behavior and emotions. Would You come and cleanse and refine my heart? We were talking earlier about having a hard heart. There's a verse in Ezekiel that means so much to me. It says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. This is the good news today, is that God's will is that He wants us to follow Him. He wants us to be sensitive, that we can feel His presence, that we can know that He's there for us, that He loves us, that He gave His life for us. And He wants to change our hearts. He wants us to feel, to experience emotions of awe, of sadness and despair, brokenheartedness over what we see in the world, to have compassion. And He wants to have joy. He wants us to be people who can rejoice in His presence. Be confident, I am a child of God. I know who I am. And my heart has been given to Him. And I could therefore trust it's going to be good. I don't have to fear. I don't have to fear about what's going to happen tomorrow. Or my attitude's going to win because, no, Jesus is with me and He's working on me. And I'm asking Him to every day, Lord, come and change my heart. And He is changing my heart. There are times when we really do need to say, God, my heart is like stone and I need a new heart. Would You please give me that new heart? He softens what is hardened, and He heals hearts that are broken and wounded. He restores what's been damaged. He does something like electrical shock or something, brings our heart back to life when that's needed. So what's the one step you can do this week? Take time for heart inventory, remove something that's unhealthy, and ask God to heal and transform your heart. Let's pray.
Thank you.